My name is O'Neill Bhattacharya. I'm a clinician scientist at the University of Toronto, but previously I was a fellow at the Harvard School of Public Health and collaborated with the China Health Systems Group on this project. Just as a comment, those nine proposals that were being reviewed by the ministry, so one of those proposals was written by the group and submitted by Dr. Liu. So if we look at this health system or the anatomy of the health system, we just heard about one of the legs through financing and payment, and now we're going to move on to the arms, medical care provision, and a little bit about public health. So I'm going to talk primarily about trends in healthcare delivery, talk about some of the sources of inefficiency and inequality within the system, and to talk about a few recommendations or potential solutions. So briefly, the history of healthcare delivery in China from 1949 to 1978. They had a publicly financed and vertically integrated system that provided good health at low cost and was kind of a model of an efficient healthcare system. After 1978, there was reduced government financing, and healthcare facilities were encouraged to become more autonomous and generate revenue for to cover operating costs. This resulted, this was concomitant with an increased investment in tertiary care, sort of an effort to modernize. But one of the results was a radical change in organizational and provider incentives. So when you look at the growth of hospitals and beds, there's a significant growth over the last 10 years, but the most market growth is in the very large hospitals. So the 500-plus bed hospitals have almost doubled, and with a more than doubling of the 800-bed mega hospitals. When you look at distribution of resources and services, you see that about 70% of the population lives in rural areas, and this is a group which has a much higher burden of disease. And 80% of the services, on the other hand, are provided in urban areas. And a lot of that growth in hospitals was really growth in urban healthcare infrastructure. When you look at utilization of hospital services by level, you see that among the tertiary hospitals, you're getting utilization rate of about 90%, so they're jam-packed. As we move down to the secondary hospitals, that's about 70%, so that'd be the equivalent of sort of a community hospital in the United States. And then primary hospitals are only working at 50% capacity. Now, a primary hospital in China is actually a very small facility. You could have 20 to 50 beds, which is smaller than what you see mostly in North America. But so basically, as the facilities get more or rather less specialized, utilization goes down. And if you see here, this is the lineup at 6 a.m. at Beijing Union Medical Hospital, which is one of the best hospitals in China. And so really the idea is people are going for the best care that they can afford or find. So what are the sources of inefficiency? Well, first off is this limited government funding that Wensheng spoke to previously, the result of which is that hospitals have to generate their own income. And again, this creates a focus on profitable services, but also profitable clients. And furthermore, a reduced incentive to provide public goods. So things like vaccination, health education, these types of activities are not reimbursed in the same way. And furthermore, there are perverse provider incentives. So many hospitals provide bonuses based on the revenue generated within a department. And so this obviously affects prescription and of tests, drugs and diagnostic tests. When we look at government subsidy of general hospitals, it's pretty stagnant. Over a seven-year period, it's always around 6 or 7%. So it's a very small proportion of the whole, hospital operating costs. When we look at their income sources, so first off, we can see that the outpatient medical expenses have tripled in the last 10 years, and similarly, this bottom one is inpatient. So those have also almost tripled. And that most of the costs actually are in drugs and examinations and treatments. So if you compare this with an American hospital or a Canadian hospital, cost of the drug expenses are maybe around 15-20%. And the reason why is because in a Canadian hospital that has a global budget, Medications are considered to be a cost, and that's something you want to minimize. But in a system where you're making profit from the sale of drugs, that's something you want to maximize. And so you get overprescription of drugs and diagnostic tests to some degree to generate revenue for the facility. So another source of inefficiency is underutilization of primary care. There's not a huge amount of data, but you can see that as we move from tertiary to primary hospitals, you get lower utilization. But one study compared the number of patients seen by physicians in a hospital versus a community health center in various parts in China and found that there were 3 times more outpatients seen by physicians in hospitals versus community health centers. And if you've ever been to a community health center in China, many of them are quite, they're not particularly busy. And so there's an issue of, you know, people not, they're not getting a lot of patients. Now one issue is that in many good functioning healthcare systems, you have reciprocal referral between primary care and hospitals. And so there's sort of an agreement that complex cases will be referred up, and simple cases, or once problems are resolved, they'll be referred back down. But in the Chinese system, there's an incentive for hospitals to keep as many patients as they can to generate as much revenue as possible. And in some case studies that we've done, hospital directors are very frank about that, that there's no real incentive to send patients down to primary care facilities. So the other issue, you know, regarding utilization is, you know, maybe, so one of it, maybe it's coming from patients themselves, right? What are their preferences? So this is the result of a survey of public perception of community health centers. The satisfaction with service here, if you see medical treatment, is 22%. And so what this seems to indicate is that while people may be going for health education and disease prevention in community health centers, most curative care is taking place in hospitals. And so that's people seeking specialized care for relatively simple health problems. The other issue with community health centers, or low utilization, may be related to the financial policies. So it turns out that 42% of regions allow community health centers to be registered with social health insurance. So many people who seek care in a community health center, which would ostensibly be cheaper, cannot be reimbursed. And part of it is because these institutions are new, and there's a sort of lack of communication between the new community health centers and social health insurance, and hopefully this will change, but financial access is limited in this way. And furthermore, when you think of basic health services, like those offered by community health centers, this is something that targets the poor. And yet only 50% of regions have provision or provide subsidy for the poor in community health centers. So there's very little, you know, promotion of, or rather specific mechanisms to increase access to primary care. And since 59% of community health centers' operating revenues are from drug sales, you have the same perverse incentives as you did in hospitals. So in summary, you've got inequality, which stems from a poor distribution or an unequal distribution of resources, and poor financial access to basic services. Secondly, you've got an inefficiency, which stems from incentives to increase healthcare costs, and also underutilization of primary care, which, you know, when properly used, should actually reduce healthcare costs compared to hospital care. So among the recommendations are to clarify and redefine the role of public and private providers. So in the Chinese health system, 95% of facilities are private, or rather are public, but because they receive so little public funding, they operate like a private institution. So you've got public ownership, but really a behavior that's very similar to a private institution. So, you know, that role of public facilities should be clarified. Are they supposed to be competing in the market with private facilities? Or should some funds be, you know, directed to certain facilities that could provide care for vulnerable groups, and then other hospitals could be managed through public-private partnerships? So this is yet to be clarified. Once that role is more clear, new organization and financing mechanisms could improve quality and efficiency in healthcare delivery. Now, as Wensheng mentioned, with the growth of social health insurance, it may be possible for third-party payers to act as prudent purchasers and maybe curb some of the behavior of hospitals. But given the current spending levels and current insurance coverage, is fairly limited. The other issue is to strengthen vertical integration of primary and secondary tertiary health systems. So currently there's no barriers. If you've got a headache, you can just go and see a neurologist. You got a cold, you can see a respirologist. There's no barrier. In cities that have broader health insurance coverage, there's a little bit of differential reimbursement. So if you go to a community health center, you'll get reimbursed, say, 90% versus 85% or 83% in a hospital. But that differential is currently not sufficiently large to really affect people's behavior. But this is a lever that could be used in the future. The other recommendation, obviously, is to strengthen primary care, which is the subject of the next session. And lastly, to strengthen public health and disease prevention. So, you know, leaving healthcare provision to the market obviously leads to market failures, particularly in things that have are public goods. And so, though China has fairly high immunization rates, for instance, those rates are dropping, actually. And so one of the reasons why is because it's not reimbursed sufficiently. And so with using relatively little funds, you could bolster public health. And this hopefully will be some part of the tenure of future initiatives. And lastly, this is a statement by the new health minister, Chen Zhu, who has vowed to establish a medical service system to cover all Chinese by 2010. He states, "Public medical service should not be a burden to society, but an important aspect of sustainable social development." So there's a hope that as China's previous focus on economic development and its great success in that arena, as they turn towards social development, we hope that they'll achieve similar success. Thank you very much.